grad, married to a Harvard grad. Parents were both Harvard grads. And there's this sort of generational expectation, failure to live up to expectation, drive, all of these things in the background of her existence. And then at the same time, she's this photographer and she's going around photographing these rich people. And she's, you know, sort of Kim Kardashian at age 12, long before the sex tapes and the big booties and the Kardashians television show, but still a part of the rich and famous. And she was sort of peripherally in those circles as she was growing up as well, not necessarily rich herself. You know, Venice Beach, you know, not exactly uptown. You know, that's a crime ridden area there. I'm being very facetious. And maybe throughout time and maybe at the time when she was growing up, it was considered more along those lines than you might think of it. But at any rate, she's going through this existence and seeing this reality of these people and these hollow individuals, including, you know, people she knows and people she's grown up with and people she's around with at a young age, so that she's able to have this picture of reality that comes from her own existence, not just her voyeurism through the camera. That's a whole nother. I had plenty of commentary to go along with the show while I was watching it, but that's not to say that it wasn't a good show, and that I don't think that somebody wouldn't get a lot out of it. It was really great. And if I can remember the name of it before I finish the show today, I will let you know what it was and try to point you in the right direction to find it. It's on Amazon Prime. That much I remember out of it. And it was in the documentary section. But of course, there are many, many of those and many things in the documentary section that don't necessarily make documentaries. They're not, I just watch some of them and turn them on, and I just think, oh my God, there was a SpongeBob documentary. That was one of them that I started watching. I think that one's on Hulu. I started trying to watch that, and I just couldn't. It was just so bad. Just give me the information. Tell me about the history of SpongeBob. Don't try to make it some weird, entertaining presentation of I don't know, something about it. Maybe it's too meta. They try to make it like it's real, and it's not. It's not real, and it doesn't need to be presented that way. You take the good with the bad, as always. But this documentary really pointed out a lot of this. This shallow hollowness that exists within people, particularly people that are in the spotlight, your Hollywood stars, your news people, your political people. And it was interesting because they talked about in a number of segments throughout it, manipulations of industry and money, and how bad that is. And it was just, I was surprised at some of the things, some of the ideas that were dropped in there that were important information to consideration. Generation wealth, that's what it was called, generation wealth. And it was good. It was good. I think you enjoy watching it, especially if you want to talk to your TV and you want to talk to your radio like I do. I certainly imagine people talking back at me while I'm doing my show live. And I certainly do it all the time to the TV. And because, you know, it's there, and surely they're listening to me and they'll change their ways. No, I do it as an exercise in my own understanding and in expressing my own understanding of my reality and what I find contrary or in agreement with what I see in the culture. And I implore you, is that the second time I've used a big word today? That if you are one of these people who avoids pop culture, avoids television, things like this, because you don't, I don't get it. I really don't understand. I've always been one that understood that to be able to speak to somebody, you have to be able to speak to them in their language. And so when I speak to different people, I alter my language. I alter my language for this presentation versus the way I speak to just one of my buddies. And it suits the audience. And I think that you have to be able to do that, you have to know where those people are coming from. You have to understand where their head is. It came up in relation to one of the, was it Paul Logan? Paul Logan is a YouTube star who is going down. I don't know the details. He's certainly had some trouble with, he will probably have some extreme trouble with ripping off people using digital product, using NFTs. And they were these horrible NFTs. And there's these, if you don't know what the NFTs are, those are digital non-fungible tokens, these images. They're the, you know, one step above a Bitcoin, I guess. It's a digital file that you can actually see and manipulate. Some of you can read. There's a company that I subscribe to. I haven't really purchased anything from them yet. I've just been watching them grow and watching how they how they're dealing with, you know, the carbon neutral issue when it comes to NFTs and licensing premium content in digital form, and it's comic books. This Beeve is, it's BEVE is the company that's doing it. And they're taking comic books and they're making digital high quality versions of them, and they're readable. So this idea that these digital files are useless is not really true. There's actual function associated with some of these digital files. Bitcoin just isn't one of them. Sorry. I hate to break the news to you years ago. the reality of some of these digital things it's messed up. It's screwed up by the people who have been manipulating them. And so this thing about Paul Logan and his manipulation, and there's these emails that suggest that they intended to the purchase up all the best ones, or, you know, whatever, put them insider trading. I don't know what kind of language you'll understand necessarily to get the notion that they were setting it up, apparently, so that they were going to get all the money. And this was one of the things in Generation Wealth. They talked to a hedge fund guy from the 80s, big famous guy, who is still to this day on the lam from the SEC or somebody like that, Congress, the Americans. He can't be extradited out of Germany, but he did these manipulations, or at least the government claims he does, and that's one of the claims he makes, is that he didn't do anything that anybody else, that the government isn't already doing with our money in terms of lending and manipulations of the value of it and what the worth might be and misrepresentations of that. And he didn't do anything that wasn't legal, is, I guess, his base argument, which that's a crappy argument to someone like myself, an anarchist, a voluntarist, someone who believes that you should, you know, be honorable in these sorts of things, in everything, if you will. I don't buy the guy's argument. But so he's getting set. He's setting himself up for failure. This Logan Paul. He's setting himself up for failure with communications that set himself at the top of the food chain when it comes to this, and then manipulated. And then the content that they released was crap. It was just garbage. Nobody liked it. It was sort of pasted images. You'd have to I don't know your total grasp of these digital toys and what's going on, but the reason you should know, the reason I would talk to you about it at all, the reason why the Logan Paul thing would be important is because of the fact that they're doing things that are very similar in terms of manipulation of quantity and value of a currency or of a tradable, exchangeable, valuable, I say resource or asset when we're talking about the NFTs, but you get the point, hopefully, that whether you find value in it or not, maybe this is the hard part for some people to grasp. Whether you find value in something or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to somebody else. It doesn't matter to the marketplace. It only matters to you, period. That's it. And perhaps a person that may have offered you something that you don't like the price of. That's it. That's the only time that your valuation of anything matters at all in the marketplace. The rest of the time, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares what you think about the value of what somebody else is doing, what other product they're releasing, whatever product they're buying, what they're doing with their time. None of it matters. That's part of what I will spend the rest of the hour talking about here today. But I just want you to understand that there's a value in knowing where these other people's heads are, where these people that you're trying to talk to, supposedly this system that we're all trying to expose, and the people that we're trying to expose it to. If you don't understand who they are and you don't know where their headspace is, you can't possibly hope to talk to them. You have to listen to them. You have to listen to what they're hearing and who's talking to them to know what it is, to have a big picture, a better picture, even a better picture even than they themselves, because you can step back outside of it all and give an honest assessment based on your own experience and based on just that separation between a person and a person who has to actually answer to something, do something, accomplish something, the one that's responsible for it. That's the beauty of the psychotherapist, the person that you can talk to. Hopefully you have a friend. You don't need a therapist to talk to. Hopefully you have that ultimate connection. Excuse me, drink coffee. Somebody that you can share all those conversations, all your conversations and all your ideas with, even the stuff that you don't want to tell anybody else. Hopefully you have that person. But if you don't, then the psychologist, the best friend, the coworker, the person that almost fits that space can be someone of value to talk to, and it's because they can give you that outside perspective. They don't have something to lose in that valuation, and they can make an objective, a relatively objective assessment of you and who you are. So, and this, if you think that there's something wrong with that, then you are not really trying to talk to people. You're not really trying to reach them. Because you can't reach them through any other means than when they come to you and they're ready, and you being able to speak to them in the language that they understand. And if they understand Logan Paul, if they understand the Kardashians, whatever it may be, then you have that one more connection with them, that one more way to speak to them and find a truth in even what they see on even the programmed, manipulated stuff that you see on TV. There's truth in there, and there's facts, and there's things that you can build a case for a stateless society, a voluntarist society, a libertarian society, a decent republic, for God's sake, would be a try. We're so far from any of those things and falling further and further away from them. And that's one of the things that come to me this week, in terms of wanting to understand other people and being able to reach them and communicate with them in better ways. And I'm doing this all the time because I have the show and I have thousands and thousands of followers all around the world and all this social media stuff. And I'm just nobody at it. But I still have this little bit of influence. And so I like to use that to try to spread some good ideas. And to be able to do that, I have to continually be working on understanding what good ideas are. And those aren't people and places. Those things that we should be looking to, those are internal realities and how we express them externally toward other people. Those are the things that are important. And so if we're constantly working on how we deal with other people and how we treat other people, that's the short version of what I'm saying there, then we're always working on an improvement. And so when you want to talk to other people, they want truth and they want facts. That's what they'll demand from you. And so then you have to know the first logical step in that is to understand what truths are and what facts are. And so I wanted to do that this week, and that's what I did. And so I asked thousands of people, and necessarily get responses from thousands of people, but I certainly received responses from hundreds of people of the thousands that I asked. Two questions, I asked them to give me a fact. I said, just give me a fact. I don't care what it is. Any fact. Tell me a fact. And so they did. And so that's one thing that I did this week. And I'm going to read through some of these things. And we're going to try to answer the question. So what is truth and what is a fact? That was the other question that I asked. What is truth? And this is one of those things where, excuse me. My mouth is so dry. And I have, coffee. That's part of the problem. It's coffee. It doesn't necessarily help with it's wet. In this case, it's cold, but it doesn't necessarily, you need just water, nothing, nothing in it. Maybe a little, just a touch of honey. Well, I have some out there. Towardanarchy.com. Look for January 8th. And that's where I'm at in my world. And if you can't find it from the front page, click the episodes button. It's 2023. So it's the beginning of not quite the beginning of the fifth year of the show. So there's a lot of archive in there. But if you go to 2023 in the episodes, under the episodes button, look for January 8th. It shouldn't be real hard to find. And so that's the questions I'm asking. What is truth? What is fact? And if you ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. And that's what I found out. And of course, the point being is that it's getting harder and harder to tell what any of those things are in either case. And just to harken back to something that I started to mention at the beginning of the show, I tangent off onto something else and don't quite get back there because I knew I'd get back to this and develop the idea. Unfortunately, I missed this. Actually, let me check. Maybe I did. I thought maybe. Let's see. I'm looking on my phone here. I capture just random images that I see constantly, all the time. Screenshots of different things. It might be a quote that somebody said. Some things are believed because they are demonstrably true, but many other things are believed simply because they have been asserted repeatedly, and repetition has been accepted as a substitute for evidence. That's Thomas Sowell who said that. And that's, again, I had this question of what is truth, what is fact on my mind, and this thing pops up yesterday just in my social media. So I grabbed a capture of it real quick, but I don't know if I grabbed a capture of this other. It was an advertisement, and it was while I was sitting here doing doing some prep for the show. I was finalizing the page, and so I had this question of what is truth, what is fact on my mind when this came up. And it was a commercial, an advertisement for an AI. An AI bot, which they're really huge right now. There's a big one I was going to sign up for it, but it wants all this extra information that I don't think that it necessarily needs to have. You know, it wants my phone number and just it just that garbage just annoys the piss out of me. There's no reason for it. They don't need my damn phone number for me to use their chatbot and for them to ultimately benefit from my using it. I'll pick this up on the other side of the commercial. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Those headphones down, make a bunch of noise. let everybody hear that. So Okay, so a couple of things. People listening to rebroadcast might have some audio loss there, unfortunately. Technical things, and some of what I said might not be in there, but I don't think I said anything groundbreaking. Probably didn't solve world hunger or anything like that, and then we won't be able to come back and relive it and use exercise, whatever that knowledge was. I don't think I probably said anything too terribly important, except for that, just expressing that base notion that if you want to talk to people, if you want them to understand you, you need to understand them. You need to know where their headspace are, that there's value in understanding what's going on in our pop culture and in our society. That's probably the biggest point that you would have missed through anything that that might have been left out there. And I was just getting into talking about this AI, this technology. The question, of course, is what is truth, and along with that, what are facts? One of the things while I was prepping for the show and had these thoughts going through my head, really in a finalized way, not just in a general way as I do throughout the week. Oh, I might do this. I might talk about this. This might come up. This is last minute things that I'm doing before I commit to sharing the information that I share. Particularly if you go to towardanarchy.com, you look for January 8th there, and as always I share some links and there's this wonderful information always there at the page every week, and I don't always share it here vocally as I should, as much as I should, but it's always there every week at towardanarchy.com. It's just the easiest way to follow along, and you can sign up for the email newsletter, and that's a way that we can always stay in touch, and I can let you know about new shows and new topics and potential guests and things that are coming up. A whole year ahead of us. We're just kicking off the year, and it's going to be our fifth year, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be just another big year. I'm excited for my own life, not just the reality of this show. This show is just one point in my life that is wonderful. It's exciting. I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 this year, just about a month from now, and that will, I don't know, socially, numberly, somewhere on my ID. That's important, I guess. It's just another day, another age for me, but it is one step closer to death, I guess. I don't think about that. I think about the life, the daily life and love and things that I enjoy. And I really try to just live. It's really not that hard to do. Other people make it hard. Government makes it really, really hard. But as I'm prepping for the show today, I hit this ad through the social media, and it's this ad from this AI, this artificial intelligence that will check your written work for bias. And whether it's racial bias or political bias, just bias, any bias. If it will check to make sure that your story, that your narrative, the thing that you've written out is inclusive, I guess. And it's just a scary thought, especially with this chatbot thing that's been going on. They keep growing these AIs to create art and to try to act like people, to act more and more like people. And one of the things that they're one of these chatbots, it's a big one that I have been seeing people just talk about it all this week. It just seems to be the hottest, biggest thing. Oh, I'm talking to this chatbot. I'm asking it to answer some really deep questions, whether or not they're important, whatever. They may or may not be important questions, but they're deep questions. And I thought about, I considered asking it, what is truth and what is fact? But I think that I'll probably just get a definition in those terms. So I went and asked real people, and I received all sorts of different answers, as I expected that I would. Again, you ask 10 people and you'll get 10 different answers on almost anything that isn't a real true solid fact. 1 + 1 = 2. That's it. You can argue the language. You can argue the value of knowing that 1 + 1 = 2 and not 3. But you can't argue the fact that 1 + 1 = 2. But some people still will. And so it just leaves that question, what is a fact and what is truth? And so I asked people to tell me a fact. And that was in the effort to see if what they told me were actually facts, or what I believe to be facts. That's the problem with the individual valuation of information, is that one person's fact is another person's opinion, or seemingly, certainly without any direct evidence, certainly not without a natural law, a real thing. You can take two of anything and two separate things that are the same thing, and you have one, and you have one, and you have two. That's really hard to dismiss. There's philosophical arguments and language arguments and value arguments that can be made, but it's still truth. It's still fact. But most things are not that simple, and most things are viewed not just viewed, but experienced through the individual. There's so little that isn't truly the individual experience. And that's not to say that we shape our own reality in terms of we can manipulate reality and it will do what we want it to do. That's not true, but you certainly can shape your own reality, and you can make yourself do things. And in doing so, you can alter the reality around you. So yes, there's truth and there's fact in both of those things. But what happens is that people continue to get bogged down in the argument about what is those things, instead of having the conversation about those, the truthful things or the important things or what they believe is important. Arguing about whether people accept something as true, as factual, and whether or not they value it and whether it's convenient, is something you better make with yourself long before you start opening your mouth and talking about something. There better be a value in it. There better be some worth, some reason for it before you do it. Or what the hell are you doing it for? I brought this question up so many times. If what you have to say is so important, why wouldn't you do the necessary work to make sure that there's value in it, to make sure that the people are listening, to make sure that you're being heard, that you're speaking in their language? All of these things, as a lifelong communicator and mass communicator, that I've had to consider. So let's see what some facts are. I started it off. I said, state a fact, any fact. And I started it off, and my fact was our government is organized crime by definition. And, you can argue it philosophy, the philosophy of it, but if you take a definition of organized crime, something along the lines of criminal activities planned, controlled by groups of people, conspiring, carried out on a larger scale, they're powerful, they have money, this is government, there's no question about that. And criminal activities are I don't know why anybody would have to question that their government is criminal. The government is full of criminals, not just the ones that get caught, but all of them. They're all criminals. They're all thieves. They're all liars. And they're all thieves and liars for an organized system designed to steal the wealth from the rest of us. So no matter what, they're all participating in criminal activity. So that's my claim, is that that's a fact, that government is organized crime. Our government, as much as we have a government, it is in fact organized crime. So let's see what some of these other facts are. Boy, there's a lot in here. There's a lot in here that we could go over. Let's see. There's somebody that says that it's not a government, it's a corporation. Well, duh, all governments are corporations, and somebody makes that argument. So that's fine. I love some of these Supreme Court. There's people in here dropping information about individual liberty and the idea that we are all individuals, sovereign, working within the United States Corporation, things that have been recognized, that 1793 Supreme Court in the United States, Chisholm versus Georgia, in this extensive sense, not only each state singly, but even the United States may without impropriety be termed corporations. The king accordingly in England is called a corporation, as in the office of the king, not the man himself. The man has a persona, which is a legal fiction. That persona is occupying a corporation called England, for example. This is true in America, too. Our president is the CEO of a corporation. The Congress is also a corporation. These are called public corporations, as they include a large body of members, a geographical area claim, a seal, and they can sue and be sued. That's it. A municipal corporation is a public corporation. And these are all truths. These are things that the difference between freedom and liberty, and another argument that comes up. But it should be very clear, and has been proven in legal documents and legal statements like that, that there is a fundamental difference between freedom and liberty, and that they exist for a particular reason, because we don't live in a vacuum. I'll have to come back to that, because there's one of the one of the comments from somebody that is very it absolutely pertains to that. Let's see. The IRS is a private company. We have no obligation to pay beside the enforcement of our corrupt government. That's what somebody says is a fact, and there's evidence to support it. Certainly. Taxation is theft. Absolute fact. The World Economic Forum is ran and funded by the most authoritative totalitarian psychopaths on the planet. They literally hate humans. These are facts, by the way. The Social Security number is voluntary, and thus so is your participation in the U.S. corporation. That's a much longer story, but I do believe it's actually a fact. I think that there's enough legal evidence to support it. There are other people who would argue against it. Most of these people would be statists who would benefit from manipulating people by controlling numbers and tattooing them on them in one form or another. Let's see. Every man is independent of all laws except those who those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institution formed by his fellow men without his consent. Cruden versus Neal. It's sui juris law for beginners is where that one popped up from. Let's see. Mess around and find out. That's a fact. that's it. All you have to do is correlate the messing around to the point where you're about to find out. And that's the point of truth. Let's see. I was once referred to as Juno's Johnny Depp, and I have no idea what that means. Neither do I, and I don't want to know. Oil-producing countries with American bases at their borders don't hate us because we're free. Fantastic. Absolutely true. Hey, let's see. Let's see if I can get back to this, just this on this corporate thing and our responsibility to the corporation and a couple of notions like that are seated within this, that are truths, that are not opinions, that people judges even will point and say their opinion, but they're okay, so they were someone's previous opinion, but that makes them pretty well true in our system. That's kind of the way our system works. That's kind of the way the law works. Once something's revealed to be true, a fact, it stays that way, and it's recognized in the law in perpetuity. Let's see. Okay, so then I asked the other question, what is truth? And then that's where this came up. And it's somebody says, difficult question to answer, who's truth? And that's when you're talking about the philosophical notions. And, of course, there's always going to be somebody who does here who says that there are no my truths, that there's he says, I don't know if this is a good argument or not, ever notice how if you walk off a building, my truth doesn't exist? Well, that's only if you're an idiot and you believe that the law, physical laws, real truths, things that are reality. If you pick, there's no question. I have no question in my mind that if I drop this right now, it's going to fall to the floor. Oh my God, it did. Oh no, wait, it didn't. It's floating above. Sorry, I was wrong. I take it all back. No, of course, went straight to the floor. If you ignore the laws of gravity, you're an idiot. You're incapable of processing thought. I'm not sure there's a difference. And so it's really kind of a poor question, because the question of truth has to be, in fact, either one of them has to be analyzed in an individual sense, because, again, of the reality of our existence being individual. Society is a consequence of individuality and individual needs, and certain individuals coming together and saying, we need to do something like this to make other people get in line because we're not comfortable. We don't like the way they live their life, whatever. You have to analyze truth and facts from an individual perspective in terms of subjective and objective valuation, something we talk about all the time. And I really, really try to focus and get people to focus on this notion. It's one of the things that may have been missed early in the show, one of the few things that I said that you really should take something away from, and that's that the market – it doesn't care about your opinion, and I don't care what market you're talking about. If you're talking about the political market, the social market, the market around the corner from you where you buy your groceries, the my marketplace, my comic book store, I don't care what it is. If your opinion doesn't matter at all. Your opinion of these things does not matter to anyone but you at all. Period. And the only time it ever matters to anyone else is if you are working a deal with them, if you are trying to interact with them, trying to be friends with them, trying to whatever it is, you're actually physically, mentally involved with a person and interacting with them. That's the only time that your opinion is going to make a difference, because your opinion will influence your actions and your speech and the way you treat that individual. Do you see how this all ties together? Anybody got a clue? Because it doesn't seem to me like anybody does. I find myself caught in between a rock and a hard place so often, being a person who tries to approach things from a logical and moral perspective all of the time. I will apply my morality when logic doesn't apply. So I'll apply logic, and if logic doesn't solve that problem, then morality takes its place, and I treat people as people and accept them for who they are. That's my highest morality. And believe me, I'll dump that in a heartbeat if you threaten me and harm me. That's not to say that I'm just accepting everything. Well, I am until there's that line that you cross and you cross into my space and yeah. I could go on and on, but I really want to read some more of what is truth. Some of these people that drop these ideas on me. Somebody says it's 2023 and truth doesn't exist anymore. Here's one I like. It belongs to each but ends when it imposes on another another's ability to simply exist. That's the short version of what I was just trying to say. It belongs, truth, facts, reality. All of these things belong to each of us all the time, but they end when we impose upon somebody else's ability to simply exist, to have their own reality, to be who they are. And that's a two-way street. That's what I'm trying to say, is that I'm not accepting that I have to be punished by them. This is the argument of the would you allow Walmart to search your purse if they were just walking down the street? No, you wouldn't, and you wouldn't have to subject yourself to it. And it's an absurd argument that would happen, and it's made in an anti-authoritarian way, as if these people are acting as if they were a government, if they were all powerful, that they can do whatever the hell they want. No, they can't. They do what they want on their property, and you have to respect that, or you disrespect certainly their property. Your heart knows the truth, not the romantic crazy part, the God-centered part. I have a lot of Christian friends. Let's see. No such thing as my truth, your truth, her truth, or his truth. There is only truth. Truth is objective, meaning that it is not based on the perceptions of any being which are capable of wavering. Truth is unwavering. It is simply that which is. It is that which has. See, this to me, that's a law. That's not a truth per se. Truth, again, it is absolutely true that Pink Floyd made amazing albums and have amazing music and some of the best music ever made. But it's true to me. It's true to many, many other people, but there are a whole bunch of other people that it's not true to. But that doesn't mean it's not true. And that's the kind of truth. That's why I don't like this labeling of truth as one thing. I think it as completely objective, as opposed to subjective. I think that truth is both objective and subjective, but that your subjective valuation of a law, a real truth, a thing that's provable and repeatable, something that you can show over and over again, usually through physical elements, physical sensations, something along those lines, that your subjective valuation of it, the understanding of it, doesn't matter. That's the important part of it. Yes, you can have it, but it just doesn't matter. It won't change it. It won't change the fact. It won't change that truth. I think that's my problem with the idea of suggesting that truth can't be questioned in a philosophical sense, that facts can't be questioned in a philosophical sense. They absolutely can, because, again, we each have our own experience, and to understand each other, to get along with each other, we have to know the other, know and accept that the other person has a different experience. You don't have to play along with their psychosis. None of that. I'm not suggesting that we have to go ahead and agree that there are 50 genders or any of that nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that just generally accepting people, particularly when what they do, say, think, feel, doesn't affect you. Let them be who they are and speak to them in the terms that they understand and that they respect. If somebody if Jackie wants to be called Jack, call her Jack. I don't know about that. The he, she, her, his, it, that stuff, you're going to have to figure that one out on your own. I do it, the they thing, I refer to them and they at times. But I'm kind of bad about it, because I kind of do it jokingly. I kind of do it in that as somebody who understands language and somebody who understands that it's hard to convey a message about them and they and have somebody see that message and understand that you're speaking about an individual. That's a problem. Yeah. So I kind of make a little bit of fun of it. So I'm kind of bad. But if Jackie wants to be called Jack, that's what I'm going to call her. a him. Until next week, take care.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.